sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
The honors of thy name.
Join in with us as we sing, Let's Just Praise the Lord. Let's sing together. Today's message is entitled, How to Be Rich and Know the Difference. Here is United Methodist speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in a crowd, Luke says, said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But Jesus said to him, Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And then he said to them, Take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. He thought to himself, What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up their treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Amen. This lesson begins, for me, really on the first verse of chapter 12. It's sort of the backdrop, and you can feel the sensitivity of it. You have to sort of picture to really catch the spirit of the lesson. Hey, listen to it. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Meanwhile, when the crowd gathered by the thousands so that they trampled on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. I want you to try to get that picture. Can you just imagine Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy One of God, is teaching and speaking to his disciples, but now thousands of persons are gathered around to hear what he was teaching them. Of course, some of the scribes and the Pharisees began to come over and trying to catch him saying something they could hang him with, but most of these persons were really trying to learn. Jesus was speaking about some very weighty matters, matters like life and death, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, these folks were just hanging on every word, but somewhere in the back of the crowd, there comes this shrill voice, Rabbi, tell my brother to give me my fair share of the family's inheritance. Now, I have to say, in his or her defense, there was a custom that it was important to bring certain unsettled matters to the review for a respected rabbi, someone who could look at it objectively. But this someone, Luke does not even give the person's name. Jesus calls this person a friend. This someone says, Look here, teacher, my brother got all the family inheritance, and after my dad died, well, he won't give me any. Where in the world did this guy come from? First of all, what he was asking had nothing to do with what Jesus was teaching. Did you notice that Jesus did not even bite on his comment? I'm not going to be your judge or arbitrator, he said. Jesus quickly took the situation right in hand, and he began to use it to teach a very important principle for a living. Recall what Jesus said. He said, take care, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Now you see, in the very presence of God, this man wasn't listening to what Jesus was trying to teach. He was just standing around stewing because his brother kept all the family belongings. Jesus then told the parable about the rich man who was a fool because he was more concerned about his possessions than having a relationship with God. Now, I want you to understand something. This is a very important lesson. Jesus did not talk about the man having too much money. He did not talk about how he distributed his wealth. He did not suggest that the man give a tithe or even make a donation to the building fund. Jesus did not even call the man into account or ask him just how he spent his money. But Jesus did say to the man that greed in any form will affect your whole life. It will affect it so much that you will miss out on the most important relationship you can have, a relationship with God. I remember a couple, Randall and Caroline. They're one of the most beautiful couples that you've ever seen who belong on the cover of some kind of a magazine, and they, at that time, were in their late 30s. Randall had had his own business for about 10 years, I guess, and he was an independent supplier of some highly specialized medical equipment. The lowest price item he sold at that time was over $100,000, and one sale, he told me, was almost $2 million. Well, Randall earned a lot of money from his business, and he's a real friendly kind of guy, but he had a sort of subtle way to brag about how much he was making and showed up in things that were expensive. Well, Caroline started her own business a few years ago, and she had not had the business experience that Randall had or any kind of training. But since she was a little girl, she had a collection of all kinds of dolls. She especially loved those ceramic dolls. At 30 then, and her lifelong collection was valued at about $20,000. For some reason, a few Christmases ago, a number of friends and acquaintances requested to buy the dolls from Caroline. Everybody wanted some special one that she had. Well, she wouldn't part with her prized possessions, but she got the idea that she would go into a business and make dolls available to the whole city. Well, to get the quality and the rare kind of dolls that she wanted, she had to invest $150,000 plus the additional operating capital. Well, without experience or adequate collateral, the bank refused her a loan. Randall, her husband, agreed to loan her the money on the same terms that the bank would a high-risk borrower. Well, the dolls were beautiful and expensive, and her shop looked the same. It was a boutique-looking kind of place, and Randall was very nervous about his investment. He called several times a day to see how many sales she had made. For the first 6 months, business was very slow. Caroline could not even make her payments to Randall on the loan, and there was some friction. All of a sudden, toward Christmas, the market began to change, and Caroline was selling all the dolls she could get. Within a year or two, she had earned enough money to pay the money back to Randall to make her loan payment and pay it all back and have new inventory. But the thing is, she did not pay off the loan to Randall. She wanted to use the extra cash to expand. She kept up her payments but told Randall that he would have to reduce the interest rate. This was so tough on him. He had to reduce the interest rate because she was no longer a high-risk borrower. Well, he refused. While Caroline's taste for expensive clothes and a new Mercedes seemed to fuel her desire to make more money, and she did. She was now earning more money than Randall. And by the fourth year, she moved into her own luxury apartment in the city, and Randall kept the home in the suburbs. Now, they're still married, but they live apart. When I last saw Randall, he told me that they only got together about once, sometimes twice a week, and we have everything separate now, he said. She has her attorney, and I have mine. I have to protect myself, he said. There's a lot of money involved. Well, Randall and Caroline are two of the hardest-working, honest people you ever want to know. And by some standards, you could say that they're both rich. Now, Jesus said, take care, good friends. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Hilbert Sapp was known by many people in the state of Florida. He was a Methodist. He was a successful builder, and he built large government-type buildings. I came to know Hilbert through the Lay Witness Mission Program, and for some reason, he and I became good friends. When I left Florida to come to Georgia, Hilbert would often stop by to see me on his way through Atlanta. One afternoon, he came by my church, and he was driving a brand-new Cadillac. He loved those kind of cars. And, "Beautiful car," I said, "Hilbert, but the last time I saw you, you were driving a new car." "Well," he said, "I was coming through Macon this morning, and for some reason, my muffler fell off. I stopped by a Cadillac dealer to get it fixed, and they said it'd take 2 or 3 hours, and I didn't have the time, so I just bought another car and came on." Well, it sounds outrageous, but that's the kind of guy he was. It didn't mean that much to him. But a few months later, I saw Hilbert, and he and I went to a men's retreat at Leesburg, Florida. The campground there was a retreat center for the Florida United Methodist Conference. One special reason Hilbert was there was to receive an award for the gratitude for the money that he had given to build one of the buildings of the retreat center. Well, I met him just after he received the award, and we were walking down by the lake, and he said, "John, you know, I have more money than any man deserves, but I always feel poor. I was reminded of that today when I was introduced. You know, I've given many thousands of dollars to the church and to this conference and in many places. And when I was asked to stand, the speaker introduced me as Mr. Hubert Sipp. John, my name is Hilbert Sapp." He said, "It's funny, you know, but it means more to me to have my name right than to be thanked for the money. You see, the money's really not mine anyway. It all belongs to God." Hilbert was converted in a very powerful way through an experience of a horrible automobile accident. He was not expected to live. But he told me, he said, "You know, when I woke up from the hospital, I had this clear sense that everything I had belonged to God. I belonged to God, and any possession I had was His. And if I lived, I would do my best to honor that." He lived his life that way for many years and gave away just about everything he had. He was generous and humble. And those who knew him would tell you that he was one of a kind. Hilbert has gone to be with the Lord now, and Hilbert had many, many treasures on earth. But you know, for him, his rarest and most prized possession was the free gift that he got from his Father in heaven. And I want to thank you, Hilbert, for teaching me and helping me to understand what this scripture means. Amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. A couple of days ago, I received an email inviting me to listen to one of those reels on my iPhone. Well, it was brief, but the woman who spoke was really powerful. The one thing that she said that really hit me was this. She said, "Today, the reason why so many persons are leaving church is that the church is more about what it's against than what it's for." I hate to say it, y'all, but there's a lot of truth in her statements. However, I can tell you this. There are a lot of growing churches that are extremely committed to their ministry to others outside of their churches. And in fact, it is making such a difference in the strength of their own churches. Recently, a dozen youth in our church returned from a mission trip to a very poor section in the mountains of North Carolina. They worked outside in the heat and in the mud, helping residents rebuild their homes and yards. They sweat and they worked without hesitation. They worked as hard as they could without even complaining. One of the youth said to me, "Reverend Wolf, I've been to Disney World twice, but nothing I've ever done meant as much to me as this week in the mountains helping those people. You know," he said, "I felt like I was doing something that really mattered. Sign me up again," he said. You know, it's an amazing thing how doing something for others often makes us feel better about ourselves. If you would like to assist in this ministry, please go to our website. We use PayPal to receive gifts, and it's one of the most secure things we know. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. MethodistHourInternational.com. Now, I pray that God pours out a blessing on you this week as you share the good news with as many people as you can. Blessings on you. Amen.
And now until next week. This is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.